The Bulldogs Extra Podcast is brought to you by Zaxby's. Satisfy your craving for hand-breaded chicken and fresh-made salads. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order online at zaxbys.com/podcast.
From between the hedges at Sanford Stadium to the practice fields, from Stegman Coliseum and wherever else the Bulldogs are playing, it's time to talk Georgia sports.
Touchdown, Dogs win!
From the Athens Banner-Herald, here are your hosts, Mark Weiser and Ryan Dennis.
All right, it is here. Georgia LSU, we are some 48 plus hours away from the monster matchup in Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Monster matchup.
You've got to do like the Halloween monster match?
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
We'll break down the big game with Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated, who covered LSU for several seasons and wrote the cover story last week on Joe Burrow. I mean, I don't know if it's as good as my story that I wrote this week. I mean,
well, you had to incorporate a little Scott Strickland in there, a little Max Johnson.
I'm kidding. Ross is joining us, and he's a fine writer. And we'll talk to him about Mike Bobo, but we'll speak, me and Ryan, about the coaching free agent as it is now, the former Georgia coordinator and quarterback, and another suspension for a Georgia basketball player. And we'll also do our over-under picks. And our weekly picks. But first, let's start with, how about DeAndre Swift? Ryan, what do you think about that?
Yeah, he's a running back for Georgia. Looked like he seriously injured himself, but if you talk to Kirby Smart, he isn't so injured, but we don't know because...
Well, we haven't been able to see him all week, unless you bumped into him in, like, in the butts mirror as he was going to the locker room.
Oh, no, they got him under. They sneak him out under a tunnel.
Practice has been closed, which I think this is the fourth straight game week that's been the case. I imagine when they are playing either in a bowl game, like a Sugar or Orange Bowl, or a national semifinal, those on campus will be open again.
Maybe.
No, they will be. And, well, I mean, not everyone necessarily, but... But when we get to Mercedes-Benz Stadium Friday for a press conference and a walkthrough practice that both teams have, we'll be able to see DeAndre Swift in person. I'm sure he'll look fine in a t-shirt and shorts because they don't do diddly squat really in there.
Yeah, I don't expect his arm to be like in a sling or anything like that.
No, I mean, he was on the sideline. Looked like he was,
you know,
semi-decent. He wasn't going to play at that point. But Kirby did say after the game that he could have. So, you know, here's what... I don't know what they're going to get from him this game, if he'll be kind of the DeAndre Swift that you expect to see, like, in a normal week, or if he'll be less than that because of the shoulder injury. Kirby said he was banged up, but has done what we've asked him to do in practice, and that was on Tuesday. Ryan, like, is there smoke screen going on here? Is Swift going to come out and run for 200 against LSU? Is he going to run for 25? What's happening?
Whew, I don't know. I mean, you got to weigh several things, I think. You mentioned Kerryon Johnson 2 years ago when he had he ran all over Georgia in that first matchup where Auburn won so handily out in Auburn and then came back and Georgia shut him down. I don't know how much of that was Georgia, you know, having a better game plan or what, but I'm sure that the injury affected Kerryon, so you would hope that it wouldn't be that case for DeAndre this week, but you know, we don't know. We have to wait and see how he's doing physically. I guess once the game starts, and you know, if he's if you can tell that he's kind of guarding that shoulder or whatever, we'll have to wait and see. But I mean, are you expecting Georgia to use him like they have been, and kind of a workhorse?
I think I just said I don't know. I mean. I do expect LSU is going to be trying to take some shots at that left shoulder.
Ooh, that's not nice.
I think Georgia would do the same if it was, you know, Edwards-Hilaire and he had the same deal. It's kind of just the nature of the beast. Yep. We shall see. You know, it reminds me a little bit of Lawrence Cager against Florida when he said after the game, I was going to do everything I could to play. And then the question was like, you know, well, why didn't you play last week if you're going to do everything? He said, well, I was going to do everything I could to play this week. So if this was Georgia Tech this week, Swift might not play if he was, you know, is 85% on the shoulder.
I thought about it, and I should have asked a question to Kirby. You know, he's always talking about, you know, you're going to get second-guessed as a coach. You second-guess yourself. I wonder how much they second-guess themselves about having him. Even though he didn't fall on that shoulder on that play, you know, why would you run a wildcat with your best player up pretty handily right there?
Well, I think the answer would be no. He's not going to second guess publicly. You know? Right. And he did say that, I mean, it sounded like Swift was not feeling good with his shoulder, obviously, mm-hmm. from, you know, a hit he took earlier in the game. Well, but I don't know necessarily that he shared that with with coaches, trainers, that kind of thing. So if he had said something, maybe it would be a situation where he wouldn't been in the game at that point. All right, so the guys we have spoken to this week, I will say I'm not sensing any kind of intimidation about going up against a 12-0 Tigers team, a high-powered offense. I think there's a confidence about this Georgia team, despite what they've done offensively. I think this is where they thought they'd be, meaning a third straight SEC championship game, and they know they are one win away from the playoff, two away from playing in the national title game again. Is that kind of the vibe you've gotten from
this
talking
has to- so much of, well, not from talking to them, but just so much of a vibe of last year is what I get. You know, you're going up against Alabama last year, nobody gave them a shot to win, should have won the game. Going up against that, you know, LSU, kind of the same situation this year. You know, everybody believes that LSU has such a high-powered offense. Georgia has that, has been that team that just doesn't feel right all year. Does that make sense? It's like,
yeah, I mean, I think the difference is I think there was a lot more confidence in the offense last year than there is now.
Well, that is true. But I think you have even more confidence in the Georgia defense this year.
Correct.
So, you know, you think about how they performed, especially in the first, what, three quarters before Hurts came in last year. And, you know, you think that they have a good chance of slowing down this LSU offense. Of course, then people say that Georgia really hadn't played anybody worthwhile on offense this year, which you wrote, was it 48th best offense is the best they played? Or Notre Dame might have been better than that. But in the SEC, I know it hadn't been the best. So, but, yeah, it just has that feel like Georgia's going to go in and make a game of it. And, I don't sense from any of them that there's intimidation, and I don't know why they would be. I mean, they played some of the best teams in the country the last couple of years and performed really well.
All right, what will this game, you think, say about Georgia's season and about its defense in terms of, say, if Georgia loses 24-23 or 35-34, will the season be viewed as something less than it should have been? I know they wanted to beat Alabama in particular because everyone knew that was the expectation back in the offseason that, you know, can Georgia get over that hump, get to the playoff again? But, I mean, you know, the way Kirby has built up this program in recruiting, and I think the expectation to a certain extent is national title or bust. So what if they lose a close game to LSU? How will you view the season? How will fans view the season?
Well, it's funny to listen to Kirby's reaction and then some of the players' reaction. You know, what does he say? Kirby says that he doesn't view a season by results, which doesn't make much sense to me. But then you asked Stokes the other day, and he said, you know, yeah, it was a great season. You know, this is, well, you know, what we expected to be. You know, we're, and to think that they're two overtimes away from being undefeated at this point is something. But I think also you have to think about how this game plays out. I mean, if they go in and it's a close game again, and then they call a boneheaded punt or, you know, fake punt, I mean, then, you know, it could be the difference between, man, we were right there with this high-powered team, to if Kirby doesn't call that silly play, then we, you know, might have won the game. So I think we might have to hold judgment on everything after this, because if they win, obviously, I think getting in the playoffs is what everybody expected, and, you know, then you move on to that. But as far as being a successful year, I think, yeah, anytime you go 11-1, it's going to be viewed as a good season, no matter really what happens in this SEC championship.
I think we'll have to see how it plays out. I mean, I agree, if it's a situation where, say, Georgia's up 24-10 and they lose 27-24.
Yeah, that has a feeling of last year.
That will make a loss. Yeah,
so. It'll be, you know, Kirby can't win the big one. Kirby, you know, makes bad calls in certain situations.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think winning this game, obviously, you know, even if you get knocked out in the semis, mm-hmm. that's going to be hard to.
Especially with the way the offense is performed. Like I said, it just has that feeling like something's not all there and you still go 11-1.
All right, what about the defense? If LSU puts up 40 and it's, say, a 42-27 loss, will they not be considered a great defense anymore? You look at some of the numbers in terms of total offense, as you were just alluding to, and I don't have it in front of me, but check out the game day story, which will be up on Friday morning, I guess.
Yeah.
Notre Dame, I think, is the only Power 5 conference team in the top 50 that Georgia has played in terms of total offense. Notre Dame and Auburn I believe it might be only in the top 30 in scoring. Arkansas State was like, you know, a non-Power 5 team, but I'm sure they built up a lot of those numbers against other teams of their ilk. I mean, what do you think? I think it's obviously a very good defense. I think this game will determine whether it's a great defense.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. And when you think about what Georgia did to Auburn by holding them scoreless for three quarters, you know, if LSU with their high-powered offense, if they do put up those big points, I guess everybody will allude back to, well, Georgia really just hadn't played anybody this year. But being the first time that...
Well, I mean, Auburn did... How many points did they score against Bama?
Yeah, 48 to something. But when you think about the way that the Georgia defense has, three shutouts this year, I mean, they've just been dominant, you know, one-dimensional. I wrote about that after the Florida game. That seems to be it switched from havoc to one-dimensional being the hot word. So if they can shut down other teams running, and I think that'll be the interesting thing this coming Saturday is, you know, Hail Air has run so well this year, and, you know, if they can stop him and force LSU to throw it every single play almost, you know, that could determine the game.
All right, with this offense, what's the expectation for this game without George Pickens for a half, no Lawrence Cager, and not sure what we get from Swift?
That's a good question, because as I wrote yesterday in today's paper, actually, about, I mean, who's going to step up? Tyler Simmons seems to be the guy that thinks he can, and I think it was very encouraging last week against Georgia Tech that he had a couple of those back shoulder type plays, the touchdown especially, you know, it was a good throw by Jake, and Tyler went up and got it. But I think Don Blaylock is a guy too, and you know, I asked Kirby about that the other day, and I asked somebody asked Jake Fromm about it on the teleconference too, that, you know, Dom has been quietly, to me, you know, really good this year, and this might be a stage where he steps up and kind of fills Pickens' role or Cager's role there for the first half.
All right, I haven't necessarily been on the James Cook bandwagon like some other folks have, but I saw something against Georgia Tech where when they needed him, he became a guy that could really make plays, you know, with the running game and in the passing game, and I think he's another guy that could be an X factor in this game.
Well, it seems like they've tried to get him involved all year. They hadn't just had him on the sideline, you know, especially early in the year. Speed sweeps here and there, but I mean, yeah, we'll see. We'll see if they use him more because of the lack of Pickens and Cager.
All right, Mark Weiser with Ryan Dennis from the Athens Banner-Herald and online athens.com. This is the Bulldog Extra Podcast presented by Zaxby's. All right, we're going to have Ross Dellinger of SI joining us to talk Georgia LSU. Just want to let you know we had a little audio issue at the start with my microphone, so listen closely to my question, but we get it fixed pretty quick.
All right, joining us now to talk SEC championship with a little bit of more of the LSU perspective is Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated and SI.com, who covered LSU for several seasons back, and joining us now from Baton Rouge before he heads to Atlanta for the big game. Ross, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem, Mark.
All right, you've been on the ground this week in Baton Rouge. What's the mood there, the vibe before this first SEC championship game?
Since 2011, from what you can tell.
You know, there's been a confidence about LSU kind of all season, and it is not going away this week. They are kind of a boastful, confident team, man. I mean, they are confident in their ability to win every game and dominate every opponent. It has been something to kind of watch and listen to just this week because, you know, and they've been that way all season. So there's, I would say, a one word of feeling this week here. It is certain confidence, you know.
Hey, Ross, thanks again for joining us. Mark and I were down in Baton Rouge last year trying to find the right places to eat. Looked like on Twitter last night that you had found a good place. Looked like some fish or maybe some gumbo. What were you eating on there?
Well, I was what they call down on the bayou here, literal bayou. And I was at a little shack, basically, down about an hour south of New Orleans, which I usually say that and people will say, I didn't know there was anything south of New Orleans, but it's the bayou and they have fantastic food. I had seafood gumbo and crab stuffed snapper and it was incredible.
Took you back a little bit?
It did, yeah. My mom's side of the family is actually from South Louisiana, and I'm originally from Biloxi. And I live in D.C. now, so it's nice to come down here. And I love D.C. and all, but nice to come down here and get some good Cajun food.
Ron, what was the name of that place we went to?
We got a
T-Bob Hebert recommendation.
It was under a bridge there in Baton Rouge. Yeah. A little burger joint.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah. All right. What does that sound like? Do you remember the name of that, Ross?
No. I can't. A burger joint under a bridge. There's the overpass area, but I'm trying to.
Yeah, maybe it was.
Oh, was it George's? Was it? The Merchant? All that.
The Merchant.
That's it.
It was the Merchant. Thank you,
yep.
Man.
Yeah, they have a great burger. They do.
All right, back to football, I guess. Maybe not. All right, LSU is in the playoff, it seems, win or lose in this game. So will that take some of the incentive away, you think, knowing a stumble, they're going to be going to the Peach Bowl or Fiesta for a semi?
That was talked about a little bit here this week. I don't believe so. They haven't won an SEC championship since 2011. Haven't played in this game since then. I think they want an SEC championship ring, and I think Joe Burrow said it after the A&M game. They want an SEC championship ring just as bad as they want a national title. That's what he said on the podium. I'm sure that's not necessarily the case, but they made it very clear that they want to win this game, and not in just seeding, if they lose, they'll probably drop to four or at least three. I don't know how they would stack it up. I would guess four, but in that case, they'd have to get Ohio State, and they'd probably be a little farther away from home playing them. I mean, they want to win, and I think that's what the goal is. So don't expect the Orioles to be resting anybody.
Of course, Joe Burrow having a Heisman like season, probably the Heisman front runner right now. But of course, Joe Brady came in this year, and the offense just got turned on its head in a positive way. So, which one of those two would you say is more responsible for where they are right now?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, it's that's kind of been debated this year a lot. I think that Joe Burrow's act, and I should say they're both. I mean, without one, you don't have the other success. Because we saw it last year. I mean, LSU had Joe Burrow, but they didn't have this success because of the offense that he probably was in. And he had just showed up in June last year, so he didn't get to spend all year with his guys and kind of throw in the offseason. So there's that part of it too. But they didn't have this offense, and you saw that he was kind of just put up normal numbers, So, but without him and his accuracy and all this stuff, I don't think LSU is doing well. I don't think the offense looks as good as it does. So, it's hard to kind of pick one, but I feel like we saw last year what things were like for Joe Burrow without the offense, and he was just kind of average. So the offense has been a big part in Joe Brady coming over from the Saints and installing a system that's, it's not like it's anything new. I mean, everybody's kind of doing it in college football. LSU's just decided to finally do it, spreading out four or five wide receivers, shotgun and all that, and throwing, a lot of the time. So it's been impressive to watch, and I think they both need each other.
Burrow is about 78% of his passes, I think, going to eclipse Colt McCoy's FBS record for completion percentage. Terrific scrambler, throwing on the run, QB draws. How do you think, Georgia can slow him down?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look to what Auburn did, Auburn slowed LSU down more than any team has this season. And they really didn't slow him down much. LSU still ended up finishing with, I think, over 500 yards of offense.
Yeah.
They just couldn't get in the end zone. And Auburn did a good job on third down. They did a great job in the red zone. And that's what Georgia's got to do and how they do it. You got to throw something different at them. I mean, Joe Burrow told me about a month ago, they've seen – all kind of different defenses from every team, and they've it's taken them maybe a little bit, but they've adjusted, to the different look, and they've kind of rolled. So you know, Kirby, I'm sure, has been poring over film all season to see what all these different defenses did, specifically Auburn, who played kind of like a, if I can recall, it was like a 3-1-7 defense, basically, that kind of threw LSU for a loop. So, I don't know, maybe we'll see Georgia in a 3-1-7, or maybe it'll be a 2-1-8. You know, it'll be interesting. You know, A&M actually got pressure on LSU a little bit, especially in the kind of third quarter area. LSU's already up big, but they got a little pressure. So there's some weaknesses, maybe just slightly, maybe on that line.
I felt like we were talking soccer there for a minute. Sounded like something you'd hear on the pitch there. But going back to Joe Brady, obviously a hot name, you know. I think Ed Orgeron said there was a plan in place to try to keep him around. So what do you foresee for him? Is he staying there? Is it maybe moving into the offense coordinator role? Does he go somewhere else? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you're going to see him get, you know, an offer from LSU that is very lucrative. Money-wise and in title, I think you'll see him promoted in a way. So I can't see him leaving necessarily for another college job because of the money involved here and I think the promotion. However, you know, he came from the Saints where he was a kind of a lower level assistant. I always wonder, you know, does he want to go back to the NFL? You know, you don't have to recruit there. And so that might be something to watch. Just see if some NFL teams come swooping in.
Getting back to the kind of the featured matchup, which is Georgia's defense against LSU's offense. From what you know about Georgia, do you think they're more equipped to stop this offense than even Auburn, which held them to 23? I mean, Georgia's kept everybody to 20 and under, I think it is.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to watch. You know, Auburn's front was, and probably is, best in college football. It was certainly the best that I've seen this year, at least play against LSU. They got, like I said, they Kevin Steele knew they could get pressure with three, and so that's where they kind of did that 3-1-7 defense. And they did. They got pressure with three. So I wonder, again, you know, and you saw A&M get some pressure. I wonder if Kirby will kind of bring the house. You know, I wonder if they'll – that's the approach they'll take instead of dropping everyone and let Joe Burrow kind of pick you apart because he can do that on each level, the deep pass, the intermediate, and the short. I wonder if he'll just kind of rush him, you know, and try to rattle him. He's really good in the pocket and sidestepping. But Auburn really got pressure, and he got pressure with only three or four guys, you know. So that might be the approach to take if you're going to slow down this powerful offense.
Well, Ross Ed Orgeron, you know, he was fired at Ole Miss and then didn't get kept at USC. He had success as an interim coach and, of course, stepped into that role for Les Miles when he departed. So, you know, a lot of people ridiculed the hire, said it wouldn't work. But why has it worked with Ed down there? Is it because, I mean, that's his area, that's his home?
I mean, I think that's part of it, certainly from a recruiting aspect for in-state Louisiana kids. That is a big piece of it. You know, he's one of them kind of thing. He's a Louisiana boy and all that stuff. And but I think the bigger part is, honestly, is the decisions that Ed Orgeron has made. Some of them kind of risky. We just talked about Joe Brady. You know, he was 29 years old. He was like basically a graduate assistant for the Saints. And Ed told him to come in and revamp the offense. And now he's calling some plays. So that was one big decision that Ed made, bringing in Joe Burrow. You know, Ed is not he is not afraid to look at the transfer market, and he's done it with Joe Burrow. He did it with a kicker last year, Cole Tracy, who basically won LSU a couple of games last year. Tight end Thad Moss, who went in the kind of the transfer market and got. So he's made some solid decisions, I think, and that's kind of the biggest thing about why and he's kind of learned from those past experiences, especially at Ole Miss, that, you know, Ed Orgeron has strengths and weaknesses, you know, and he needs to cut out the weaknesses and let other people do them, which, you know, his strengths are motivation and recruiting and all that stuff, and he's starting to do that.
LSU might have had their best defensive game, I guess, maybe against Texas A&M in terms of, you know, against a quality opponent to a certain extent, I guess, if you want to throw the Aggies in that mix, but... Do you think that was kind of them getting going on that side of the ball? Can a Georgia offense that has been less than expected still be able to run on them and get points like a lot of teams have?
Well, that'll be, you know, the interesting thing. And I know the big matchup is Georgia's defense against LSU's offense. And I don't have faith necessarily in Georgia's defense slowing down the LSU a ton. So to me, the bigger story even is, can Georgia move the ball in LSU defense that has really shown holes a lot this season? You know, they've allowed like 30 points, I think, four times maybe, or 28 points at least four times. So that's kind of the big deal, even without obviously the first quarter or first half, Georgia's top two receivers. I just wonder if they can hold the ball too. You know, the best thing you can do about playing a good offense like LSU's is to hold the ball and possess the ball. So that to me is kind of almost the biggest storyline, because it feels like, you know, LSU's always going to get its points and its yards, or at least its yards. You know, as we discussed earlier, if Georgia can slow them down the red zone, that's huge. But to me, almost the bigger story is, can Georgia hold the ball, possess the ball on offense, move it slowly down the field against a defense that has shown some vulnerability? And I know they played well against Texas A&M. That was probably their most complete game that they played. And maybe they're rounding into form. You know, they got some injury guys who are injured. They got them back, Grant Delpit, most important there at safety. So it'll be interesting to watch to see if Georgia can exploit some things that other programs have.
All right, Ross, the three of us here have made our picks. All of us took LSU, I do believe.
Well, who's the third?
Yeah, me, you, and Ross.
Oh, yeah.
That's three people.
Well, that won't be until the Saturday.
I know. Spoiler alert. Sorry, Bulldog Nation. But, I mean, how do you see this one playing out overall? I mean, close game, blowout, what do you think?
You know, I've got it. I'm thinking that Georgia can do enough defensively to, at least in the red zone, keep LSU off the scoreboard a little bit. And so I've got more of a 10 point LSU win, but in the 20s, you know, like 27-17 or something like that. That's to me kind of how it feels.
All right, Ross, safe travels to Atlanta. We'll see you around Mercedes-Benz, and appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, y'all.
All right, don't forget to shoot us a review at the Apple Store, or is that an Apple Podcast, and the Google Podcast app. We appreciate that. Thanks for tuning in each week. This is the Bulldogs Extra Podcast presented by Zaxby's. All right, Mike Bobo and Colorado State came to a kind of a separation agreement in terms of buyout. He is no longer the coach after five seasons.
Bulldog fans went crazy on Twitter.
Yeah, not the kind of crazy they did when he was calling games at Georgia.
and that's so funny how, you know, times are.
Yeah.
You know, times.
Well, I mean, when you've gone through Schottenheimer, and some people feel Coley as well, then there's a yearning for Mike Bobo to
reunite with his best bud.
Yeah. But you know what? It's hard to know where exactly Mike will go. Now, it was interesting, the statement from the athletic director at Colorado State said that Bobo wants to, I don't have the exact words in front of me, but that he's going to be pursuing another coaching opportunity, sounds like shortly. Obviously, South Carolina has removed Brian McClendon as the play caller there. He's still on staff as now.
Were he and Muschamp close? I mean, you might be getting to that, but Bobo and Muschamp?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's the same age, same class,
okay,
maybe.
Right,
as,
right.
Because,
Kirby, you know, Kirby always talks about how.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there was a story I wrote back in the day when Muschamp was defense coordinator either at LSU or
Auburn
mm-hmm. where Bobo and Kirby were riding. Maybe it was the 2005 season. I can't remember.
South Georgia recruiting? Is that?
I don't know. There was some deal on the phone where Bobo and Kirby, I think, were kind of teasing Muschamp about something.
I think I remember that. Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, this was a long time ago. But my point is, they're all in the same. They're all tight, mm-hmm. And you know, probably. I mean, I don't know how much they're able to keep in touch now with the busy deals of being head coaches. But you know, interesting. Hudson Mason, who was a quarterback for Mike Bobo and was in the room with him, obviously for his time at Georgia, he was kind of saying, you know, it's tough to go work with a guy when you're best friends with him or really tight with him. So maybe there's a better fit at South Carolina with McClendon and Thomas Brown, who were on staff here with Bobo. Brown was here for, what, 2 seasons, I think. So, I imagine that might play out.
You know, what was the official?
Sooner rather than later. And I don't know if Kirby's going to be asked about it tomorrow. He probably will, just hear his comment about not having Bobo, or the Bobo's no longer at Colorado State. But, I mean, I will say that, I feel like Kirby's mentioned several times in the last few weeks, putting in a good word for Coley, that good play calls he's made lately, and he doesn't get credit for the way they run the 2-minute offense or something. So
he seemed to throw in there, and that was a great call, but I think
that's
the fake screen that ended up in the George Pickens 41-yard touchdown. I think you mentioned that being a great call by Coley.
Yeah, but I mean, it is who knows what will happen, and whether there's an analyst position for him or a co-offensive coordinator title if Kirby chose to try to bring him here, or if Coley's name's been mentioned along with Lanning for a job here or there. So obviously Georgia lost both coordinators last year, so we'll see what might happen. We mentioned the basketball suspension. Amanze Nugumeze, how'd it do?
I think it's Nugumeze.
Oh, man, I was way off. Mm-hmm. Interesting comment from Tom Crean. I didn't cover the game last night, but you were there, Ryan, and they put out a statement. So basically, pretty explicit that his attitude was the issue. He's suspended from all team activities, and I guess there's a window of where he might be able to come back to the team, but you might not see him again in the Bulldogs.
Yeah, it sounded like that window was very, very much almost slammed closed. I guess there was a little gap where Tom said that he didn't know if there was a path back, but he didn't say that he was off the team forever, just indefinitely suspended. But he said it was a discipline type of deal, or it falls under the umbrella of attitude, I think is the word that Crean said. I guess he just was they were having run-ins, and Tom Crean got tired of it. Tom said he'd become more mellow, I guess you could say, over the years, and learn to kind of deal with things. But he said, I guess Amanze went too far with him.
Georgia blowout over UNC Central.
Mm-hmm.
Not a surprise there, so I'm not really going to waste any time talking about that. We'll see what happens. Georgia's next game is against Arizona State.
December 14th at Arizona State.
Week from Saturday, is it?
Friday? Yeah, it was 10-day layoff, that.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I was looking at this last night after I was looking up. Amanze started every game, so it's not like you're booting a guy. I mean, he's not necessarily, if you had to say who are the three best players, but he has started. They lack front court depth. They lack rebounders, guys that can maybe affect the ball around the rim.
Rodney Howard got to start last
night. Yeah, on the defensive end. But now I believe there are only two players that were on the floor last night who played for Mark Fox, Tyree Crump and Rayshon Hammings, because Jordan Harris also suspended but coming back for the SMU game on the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite the roster overhaul.
Yeah. It's kind of what he was getting at last year when he said that he didn't have to keep
everybody. But two more of those guys now that were started the season on the roster, So,
yeah.
I mean, I guess it's fair to say that the guys he's handpicked and brought here have probably bought into what he's doing.
Yeah, you're probably right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit better, presuming. And, of course, obviously Jordan had some issues as well when Mark Fox was here in terms of doing what needed to be done. All right, let's flip from basketball. And quick mention, Georgia women had a rough game last night at Baylor in the SEC Big 12 Challenge. Not a very pretty final score.
Yeah, 73-38 or something like that. Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Over, under, and back to football. LSU, Georgia. Joe Burrow, 78% passing this season. Georgia, I believe the number is 55% completion percentage against the Bulldogs this season. I'm going to double check that. So the number is 70. Will Joe Burrow pass for 70% completion percentage? I'm going to go under. I'm going to say 68.
That's a good question. I agree with you, under. I mean, man, 78. I mean, that's just blowing.
54-4 is the number for Georgia. Go
that's
ahead.
What they're giving up. Yeah, I'll go under. I think Georgia's defense is.
Well, what are they going to do? Give me a number.
I'll go 63.
Ooh, that'll be. I think they'll take that.
Georgia?
I mean, maybe. Yeah, Gax, yeah. Gax completing 78%. I mean,
it's like 6% more than any other SEC effort, right? I mean, it was blowing it out of the water. Yeah.
All right, Jake Fromm, 50% completion percentage the last four games. It's been under each of the last four. The number is 60 that I'm going to throw out there. I'm going to say under. I'm going to say 58%, which would be better than he's been doing. But I think he may have to be chucking the ball a good bit if they happen to fall behind.
Ooh, no hope. No, I'm saying
they could.
I'm going to go under. He plays so well in big games. I think, you know.
Under would be.
I said over.
You said under. Okay, you're going to go over? You're going to go over 60%?
Yeah. Right. I meant over if I said under. But, yeah, he plays big in big games. You know, I think the big thing is the receivers getting separation and giving him a nice target to throw to. I feel like that's been the biggest issue this year.
Well, that's just – they're suddenly going to turn that on?
I don't know. I like Jake Fromm in big games. I'll go over 63%.
All right, yards given up in this game by Georgia's defense – 257 is their average for the season.
I thought that was the number. I'm like, whoa.
No, 257 is their average. LSU is averaging 560 yards of total offense a game. The number I'm going to throw out there is 375, which would be, you're really talking about almost 200 yards per game less than LSU's average. I'm just double checking now the total offense number. Yep, 257. I am going to say over. I'm going to say they're going to go for 400 yards, which... not too shabby against a team that's doing 560.
Gosh, man, they're so well.
What are you saying? You going over or under?
I'd have to go over on that. I mean, they're just such a well-oiled machine. As much as I like Georgia's defense, the way that Burrow's playing, two big receivers, and Hilaire in the backfield. I'm gonna go over. 425 sounds like a good number, but
all right. Two more to go in this over-under. DeAndre Swift rushing yards. He's averaging 100.2 yards per game. The number is 100. I'm going to go under. I'm going to say 80. Just, mostly because I don't know exactly what's going on with the shoulder and if it's going to limit his carries. Yeah. Otherwise, I would go over if this was DeAndre Swift before last week's game and I didn't know anything about a shoulder deal.
I don't know. A lot of factors come in here. The improved LSU's defense last week.
I mean, you're basing it on one game?
Yeah. Yeah, I am. I am. And then, his injury factor, I'd go under.
Texas A&M rushed for minus 1 yard against Georgia.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But I'll still go under. I don't know how much that injury will play a part. And,
All right.
I don't have a number for
total points scored in this game. Vegas line this morning had it at 54.5. I'm going under. I went with 51 in my picks, which you'll hear about shortly, but I'm going with under and 51.
Yeah. I'd go under too. I think a mix of Georgia's defense and lack of offense, and then, it's just kind of two sides that are kind of. LSU's lack of defense and good offense. We'll see. We'll see what it gives. But, 54.5, I'll go under. So we agreed on all.
Did we? I didn't even pay that much attention. All right. Now we go to our picks. And look, I had to – look, this is for the Wiser Than Wiser contest. I had to kind of reach into the FCS playoffs to find enough games to I didn't actually check the standings. Am I winning that? Or did I move up? There's a guy in second place.
I don't know.
I was in second place. There's a guy ahead of me.
Didn't look.
All right. I don't even remember how I did last week. All right, here we go. The Pac-12 Championship, which is, I believe it's a Friday night game. Is it 7 p.m. Eastern, maybe?
Yeah. Who's hosting this? Is it Utah?
It's a host deal, right? It's not a neutral field?
I thought that's how they did it.
Right. I think you're right.
Because they tried it at, I want to say they tried it at San Francisco Stadium one time, and like 12 people showed up. It was not, so they were like, we got to.
I can't remember, but I mean, I knew that at the beginning of the week when I put this together, but now I can't remember. All right, Oregon, Utah. And Utah, fifth in the country in the latest playoff rankings. Look, you might be surprised that Paul Feinbaum said something that got a lot of attention. He basically said nobody wants to see Utah in the playoff. I actually do not mind seeing a team that's never been in the playoff make the playoff. I'd rather see Utah than, say, Oklahoma almost.
Wow.
Yeah. But I think it would be more fun.
That doesn't sell. That doesn't make money.
Yeah. Oh, the conference that Utah's in, the Pac-12, are they part of the ESPN network of... no, I don't think they are.
Yeah, probably not.
I think that's a Fox deal, isn't it? I could be wrong.
I know I don't get it. I don't get that channel in my package.
I'm not talking about the Pac-12 network. I'm talking about like typically when you watch a Pac-12 game on TV, the big game, maybe it is ABC actually. Is that an ABC game or is that a Fox game?
And then on ESPN, don't they have a late night?
I don't know.
Late night Pac-12?
They probably spread it out around. All right, anyway, I'm going with Utah.
I'm going to Oregon. I hadn't believed in Utah all year. I mean, they lost to USC, and just don't trust them. I don't know why I trust Oregon anymore, but I do in this one.
All right, here are these FCS games I mentioned. Yeah. Illinois State at Central Arkansas. I know nothing about these teams, and I went with Illinois State.
Central Arkansas, for me, they have a great running back who, I have no clue. Give me Central Arkansas.
Northern Iowa at South Dakota State. Also not going to waste any time, but you know what? What's the weather?
It's snowing.
What town is South Dakota State in?
Sioux Falls.
Do you know that for a fact?
Sounds right.
I need to find out what the
weather is. Is there another city? First of all,
do they play in a dome? It might be a dome stadium anyway.
I know North Dakota State definitely does.
Yeah, so the weather might not be an issue then.
Anyway, I went South Dakota State just because I know game day went there earlier in the year. Sounds right. Jackrabbits. Right.
Miami of Ohio against Central Michigan. I guess this is the MAC title game.
Is that the fight in McElwain's?
Jim McElwain at Central Michigan, where I had seen his name linked to the Missouri job.
Ooh.
Which is interesting. I'm going to take Central Michigan.
I went Central Michigan, too, only because I know that McElwain's turned them around.
Louisiana Lafayette is at App State in the Sun Belt. Is that what it is?
I know it's in Boone, North Carolina. It might be snowing there. Who knows?
Now, Georgia Southern went to App State and won, didn't they? I'm taking App State, though. Louisiana Lafayette, I think Rob Sale, the former Georgia offensive line coach, might be on staff there. But
is that who's their head coach? The guy that used to be at
Clemson?
At Louisiana Lafayette. Who's the guy that was at Alabama?
He's also the same guy, I think.
Okay, Okay, anyway, I went App State. I mean, that seems like a no-brainer to me.
All right, Baylor-Oklahoma round two, this time in the Big 12 title game. It'll be interesting if Baylor wins and then Utah wins, what happens with that number four playoff spot if Georgia happens to lose. I'm taking Oklahoma to win this thing and then be waiting, hoping for Georgia to lose.
This seems like a thing where Baylor, you know, had such a big lead in the matchup they had earlier in the year. It was 28-3, and then Oklahoma rallied back. So you think, does Baylor have the, you know, motivational factor in this one? But I still think Oklahoma, maybe they didn't play as good as they should have. And they, I think they win pretty easily in this one, actually.
All right, these next three games all involve coaches that might not be with the schools that they are currently coaching on championship weekend. UAB at Florida Atlantic. Lane Kiffin is being kind of floated by some media members for maybe an SEC job.
Arkansas?
I don't know which one. Maybe Arkansas, maybe Missouri even. They've had a good season. They were down last year. I think they even had a losing record. But I'll take Florida Atlantic to beat UAB.
I had two buddies that played sort of at UAB, so I picked them because of that.
Are they still playing?
Nope. All right. Been a few years.
Was one of them the transfer linebacker that played for Georgia in 2015?
No. We were a decade before that when we were in college.
All right, Cincinnati at Memphis, and Mike Norvell could be head to Ole Miss. I don't know, but he's also a guy that probably is going to be moving on. His name is pretty hot. Cincinnati's having a good year also, but I think they lost last week.
Yeah,
right?
At Memphis, right?
Yeah, it's at Memphis.
No. I'm saying they lost at Memphis last week.
Wait, this is a rematch?
Yeah,
later?
I do believe.
Okay. Yeah. Well, unless I just typed up the wrong game and they're not even playing this week.
It could be. I think they are playing again in the, was that Conference USA or, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, title game.
All right, now you got me worried. I'm checking that up. Hold on. Oh, look, they're playing Saturday at 3:30, so they are playing at Memphis. All right, Hawaii at Boise State.
I took Memphis in that other game, by the way.
Give me Boise.
Yeah, I think me, you, and 100% of everybody that votes in the Wiser Than Wiser contest also took Boise State. I mean, Hawaii coming to Boise? That's the recipe for disaster.
Wisconsin at Ohio State, Big Ten championship game. Ohio State already in the playoff, even if they lose. Wisconsin's not getting in the playoff if they win. It's another rematch game from the regular season, right? Didn't they play?
No, yeah. Yeah, because Wisconsin went into Ohio State and thought it'd be a good game, and Ohio State dominated. This is played in Indy, if I'm not mistaken, by the way, inside.
What did I say, at Ohio State?
Yeah.
Seeding is an issue here for Ohio State, right. So I'm taking Ohio State anyway. But
I think it's going to be a blowout.
Give me the Justin Fields.
Ooh, he went there.
Virginia and Clemson.
Okay, move on. We all know this one. I mean,
Dabo not happy with how Georgia can lose to South Carolina, and everyone says great things about Georgia, but Clemson is undefeated and doesn't get any respect.
Well, Georgia also played five more top 25 teams.
Same with him. No, he did have a good comment about another. I mentioned Feinbaum earlier. He had another spat with Dabo, where he basically was taking shots at Clemson, and then Dabo took shots back at Feinbaum. Said he's employed by the SEC, which I guess to a certain extent he is. He works on the SEC network, and mentioned something about I guess maybe Feinbaum called him like a baby or a kid or something. So Dabo said something like, "Yeah, give me my Happy Days lunchbox or something." So
Happy Meal.
Have you ever watched Happy Days?
Yeah. Back in the day, I used to with the Fonz, you know.
What'd you watch it on? What channel was that on?
I think it was TV Land back then.
There you go. Yeah. All right. You might have heard about this game. It's Georgia and LSU. They're playing down the road at a place called Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Hey, you want to go?
Ryan, by the way, do you like that venue more for United games or for these college football games?
Oh, well, I've only been to one United game, but I was in the press box too. I think it'd be fun to go as a fan, but no, it's built for college football and this game specifically.
All right, here's the good news before I give you my pick. Mm-hmm. Georgia played Florida in, I guess, early November. I picked Florida to win that game, and that didn't work out very well for my picks, but it worked out great for Georgia. Mm-hmm. So when I tell you that I'm picking LSU to win this thing 27-24, I don't know why I wrote Georgia next to it, but I did pick LSU in the paper. Mm-hmm. Here's why I'm doing that. The offense, DeAndre Swift, no Lawrence Cager, no George Pickens for the first half. LSU, very explosive offense that Georgia has not seen any team to this level. I do have a lot of confidence in this Georgia defense. That's why I'm picking it only as a 27-24 game. But I will say this, that I'm not going to be surprised if Georgia wins. Kirby has this team ready for these types of games. Georgia has played well in this venue at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They are comfortable there. Jake Fromm plays some of his best football there. But like I said, they haven't played a passing offense like this. Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Clyde Edwards-Helaire have something going. So I'm taking LSU and send all your emails of hate to Ryan Dennis.
You know, I got to thinking about this. If there was like an electoral college map where it showed, you know, voting throughout the country, there'd be one state that would pick Georgia, and it'd be Georgia. The rest of the country just thinks that LSU is going to dominate this game.
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of fans that love Georgia and Alaska.
Yeah, so you'll have one little speck. There'll be maybe two little specks.
Well, I think, because certain states in particular, their fan bases are rooting against Georgia.
That's true.
And also, there is a belief that LSU obviously is if not the best, Ohio State or LSU is. So.
Yeah, so I think, you know, pretty much.
But you know what? More importantly than that, I don't know. What's the capacity there? 80,000-ish?
75.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so maybe 40,000 are going to be rooting for Georgia. So who cares about the 40, 50 states?
No.
It's what you know, they're going to have a home.
I agree.
Yeah, they're going to have a home field type advantage. Mm-hmm. And like I said, but you know, I got to pick a team. And hey, I have Georgia at least covering the spread, if that's worth anything.
Well, I was going to say, I think you have to be pretty diehard, believe in the Bulldogs to pick them in this game. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I picked LSU, though, to win 24-21, because I think that Georgia's defense and LSU's offense will balance each other out. And I think that the same goes the other way, that LSU's maybe lack of a defense and Georgia's lack of an offense will balance each other out. And then turning to what LSU did against Auburn, where, you know, the best defense they've faced until this weekend, where they only put up 23 points. Is that what it was? That, you know, I think that's the type of game it'll be. And I think Georgia definitely has a chance to win it, but I think common sense tells you right now that you would pick LSU in this game. So that's what I went with.
Yeah, we tried not to like root for any outcomes, but I will say that it was quite a ride and very enjoyable going to the playoff in 2017 with this team.
Yeah,
and so you know, wouldn't bother me if Georgia makes the playoff.
I've never been to Phoenix,
and also it's a lot more pleasant in Athens when Georgia wins than when they lose. People don't want to fire coaches and stuff.
Exactly. And like I said, I've never been to Phoenix. I've been to Atlanta a few times, but never to Phoenix. If that's our destination, I'd be happy to go. You want to ride out to the Grand Canyon?
Yeah, it might be Atlanta. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Have you been to Atlanta before?
Yeah, a couple times.
All right, that is the podcast. It's called Bulldogs Extra. It's presented each week to you by Zaxby's, which takes chicken to a whole new level of flavor. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order online at zaxbys.com/podcast. We'll talk to you next time.